This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard, given on the 12th of April, 1957. The title of this lecture is Control, Communication, and Havingness, Part 2. It is Radiation and Your Survival, Tape Number 3. Copyright 1957 by L. Ron Hubbard in the United Kingdom. Copyright 1978 by L. Ron Hubbard in the USA. All rights reserved. Unauthorized translation, duplication, importation, and distribution is a violation of applicable laws. This tape is 47 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
I want to introduce to you the finest people at the moment in the British Isles. Stand up, please. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Now I introduce you to you. Thank you. It isn't every day you get to meet as many fine people as you will find in any Scientology gathering. Now, are you inclined to hear a little something about a new factor in Scientology?
Yes.
Well, that new factor is control. The procedure today is called CCH. Communication, Control, and Havingness. And the factor of control has taken rank straight up the line with every other important factor and has now gone beyond it to a point where it ranks with communication and happiness. And the moment we look at these three factors, we are looking at the two sides of a coin. We are looking at communication, real communication. Top bright side. Terrific. Wonderful. Real control. Top bright. Wonderful. Real havingness. Good. Top side of the coin. Perverted, twisted havingness. Denied havingness. We're looking at the factor which made people aberrated. Bad. Black side of the coin. Control. Bad control, unpositive control, control with punishment, duress, threat. That's the bad side of the coin that aberrated people. And we look at the third factor, communication, miscommunication, twisted communication, perverted communication, lies, no acknowledgments, communicate with the wrong thing in the wrong direction. We're looking at the factor that aberrated people. And we have come up with these three factors, which give us the plus from which all other pluses stem, and the minus from which all aberration stems. Those three minuses, bad communication, bad control, and twists on havingness or absence of, gives us the aberrated condition we find man in. And the cure, the release, lies in these other three fields. Good communication, good control, good happiness. And you've got the story. We have another trio. A trio as important as ARC was in its day. A tremendous trio, a very valuable one. How you go about this and what all this means is fabulous. The simplicity by which one can resolve the problems of man with these three cannot be exaggerated even by me. And that's quite a statement. Now, we come down to an interesting new definition. Up to this time, somebody asked you what a Scientologist was, it was not easy to tell them. It was someone who audited people, or somebody who was therapeutic, or somebody who wasn't, somebody who wasn't. It wasn't that being a Scientologist was a difficult or complicated thing, but it was not really a very specific and positive thing. Let's look at the doingness of a Scientologist. The doingness of a Scientologist. Describe it. What does he do? Well, he audits people, he gathers group. No, I'm sorry, that isn't a specific doingness that we can rattle off, you know. And the postman, the bus conductor, or anybody else simply says, that's for true. That's for true, you know. Oh, is that what he is? Glur, you know. No impact. Well, there's one you can rattle off now. It's important to have such a definition, by the way. You won't agree with this one, not right this minute. Not until you've done some auditing on this line or had some auditing on this line. You will flinch because remember I said that control was also aberration and the way out. Bad control, you see, was aberration itself. So the word control itself is a little bit subject to question. So maybe today you won't have any great agreement with this. But I'll make you a bet after you've listened to the tape series on the 17th ACC. After you've looked this over quite a bit, I'll make you a real good bet that you'll be using this one. Scientologist is one who controls people, environments, and situations from tone 40. Oh, you want a situation control? Call a Scientologist. You want environment control? Call a Scientologist. Are your wife's out of control again? Call a Scientologist. Simple as that. What does the Scientologist do? Well, it becomes a fact when you recognize that it can be done. But up to the moment when you find out with good subjective reality that it can be done, you're going to look at this one with just a little bit of, I don't know, Ron says so, but I've heard these things before, it's the latest fad, and so forth. Now, what do we do with such a definition? We have to look squarely at what we have to do in order to help people. What is a tone 40 control? It is beyond the reach of Homo sapiens. He has never been able to do this. It's a taught technique, knowledge. It requires 5 steps of indoctrination before a fellow reaches up to such a level. It's a discipline the like of which you yourself hadn't thought existed. But it's achievable and rather easily today by a Scientologist. What is control? Control is start, change, and stop. That's easy, isn't it? Well, what's a hypnotist? He is somebody who stops people's attention and fixes it. Therefore, does a hypnotist control people? No, he does not control people. He merely stops people. So he's a ruddy fraud. He controls circuits, machinery, implants, by putting in more circuits, machinery, and implants. And he never for one moment does more than back the person himself off a little bit further from taking responsibility for the situation. Now, to control somebody's attention is absolutely necessary if you're going to communicate. And for you to be communicated to, it is necessary for you to accept a control of your attention to some degree, isn't it? There's a slight necessity there. Well, supposing that you had been pushed down to a point where every time anybody gave you attention or told you you had to give attention, you went into a fix, you know? Hypnotic. Ah, there must be something wrong with the way your attention's been controlled way back down the track and somewhere. Mm-hmm. Papa was probably a genius at it. He was probably a wonderful fellow. He probably just knew all there was to know about control. You do that once you get it off, beat your head off. You know? Why is it you didn't ever obey him? Well, if he was set, fixated, and upset about control, why didn't he ever control anybody? There's a big difference between trying to and doing so. And after a fellow feels he can't anymore, he gets like Papa. You do that once more and I'll roll. What happens to the state? What happens to the state when it says, if you bump off one other gent, we will hang you? Oh, it's that once admitted that it cannot control your actions regarding your fellow man. Every time they have a sign hanging up that says the penalty is, they've admitted something interesting that they can no longer control. It's not that they're now going to control by force, because one was never controlled by force. Force will not and cannot control. Do you understand that? You can put somebody into apathy so he cannot be controlled or control anything with force, and therefore render him dead or not dangerous, but this is again a different thing from start changing and stopping somebody. That's a new thing. So we object to parts of control. We say we object to being stopped. We object to being obsessively controlled. We object to all sorts of factors with regard to this. We think. And the surprising thing about it is we have never looked at control. Never. We are the first amongst men to see this thing called control. Where can it go? What is control? How do you control something? Now, when I tell you control is that important to a Scientologist, you are at first going to say to me, uh-oh, well, I don't know. I've seen a lot of control in my day. Makes me nervous. Somebody coming along with this much ability to control things. Listen, if you can be controlled, there's nothing under the sun that can aberrate you. If you can clearly never resist control. People ask me every once in a while, how do you ever get along? I get audited by a person or something, and he upsets my case or something of the sort. I mean, he would upset your case. The person comes in, says, I'll give you a session. I sit there, and I get a session. He goes away, and I either feel better or I don't feel any different. I don't feel much worse. Why? Well, I never realized there was any virtue in this before, and one day I found out what I did. I did exactly what they said. And sometimes it was too silly to make anybody well, you see. But I always did exactly what they said, if it could possibly humanly be done. This is very baffling to some auditors, particularly new ones. They say, can you see the wall? You look at them and you say, yes. They said, no, no, I want you to look at the wall. You say, all right, and you look at the wall. You get it? They say, can you get the idea your father is a beast? And I'll say, yep. They'll say, fine. Now get it again. I say, get what? Get the idea your father's a beast. Oh, you want me to do that now? Yes, you did it before, didn't you? And I say, no, you asked me if I could get the idea that my father was a beast, and I told you yes. But you didn't tell me to do so. He says, my, he's being trying. What do these fellows think they want to do? They want me to sit there and self-audit? Somehow or other make a session out of it? dub it in one way or the other and get along there somehow. You know. Can you look at the wall? Yes. Sure, I can look at the wall. Why don't you? I say, who wants me to? He says, I do. I said, well, all right. Only there's one thing I'd like to say as a pre-clear is don't put your commands on telepathy. And I, outside of maybe a couple of times when something disastrous has occurred, somebody has pushed me way back down the track and stuck me in something and then gone out for a cup of coffee and never gotten back. Have I ever had any difficulty in auditing? Somebody comes up and says, I wouldn't be audited by him. He's dreadful. He does terrible things to you. When a person tells me he is worried about auditors, he tells me that he is always himself trying to make a session out of it. He is himself worried about being controlled. But a positive tone 40 control is not aberrative, but quite the reverse, is quite therapeutic. Now, you're going to agree with this. As soon as I tell you one little line. People have difficulty handling life. People have difficulty handling messed objects. You see them dumping cars astraddle fire plugs and wrapping them around light poles and running them into buses and so forth. They have difficulty with things. They got to get out of control, they say. Well, how could anything get out of control if it was ever really in control? So the thing went out of control, they say, and that's why it wrapped itself around the motorman's neck. You say, all right, fine. Is there anything else in life that you would like to control? Oh, yes. No. Well, you say, how about your mother? And they say, duh. Well, how about your wife? What about my wife? Well, what about controlling your wife? Ooh. You don't suppose anybody could, do you? He's so far back and so upset about controlling things and being controlled himself that he resists it up to a point where every time a control is undertaken, he sticks. And he gets sort of hypnotized and upset and so forth. But his effort, in general, is in the direction of attempting to control something. Not aberratedly, he just would like straightforwardly, and then he falls away from being able to do so, so he adopts mechanisms of one kind or another. Now, a few years ago, we had something called the service facsimile. That was the facsimile, the series of mental image pictures, ills, and difficulties, which somebody used in order to control others. That's right, isn't it? That's right. Well, all right, if that's the case, what's wrong with this fellow's ability to control things? If he has to go over into illness and sickness and aberration, if he has to throw himself down and gnaw the corners of rugs like Hitler did, just to get some general to finally say, well, all right, I'll do it. There must be something awfully wrong with this chap's ability to control. And how about a service facsimile? Tells you at once that if your pre-clear was tolerant on the subject of control, if he did not himself resent the idea of control, if he himself could control, where would be his service facsimile? It would be gone. And as long as an individual believes that he needs some aberrated mechanism in order to control things, you won't audit it out of him. So you have to rehabilitate control before he gets rid of any of these things. And so it proves in the auditing session. Thus, many of the cases you have seen that have been rather dilatory in getting well could today, knowing what we know now about control, be made into a considerable Case. Upstairs, doing well, fast. Control was the stuck point. Now, the difference between a good auditor and a bad auditor is the willingness of the auditor to control. That is the result that one auditor gets compared to the result some other auditor gets with the same technique. It is not communication. It is first and foremost control. If he is able to or willing to control his preclear, then the auditor plus the preclear can control the circuits and aberrations of the preclear. And an auditor who is not willing to and who cannot control a preclear will have any technique, no matter how brilliant or well thought out, twist in his hands. Therefore, he must know how to control people. So right away, we take the indoctrination course at the Huzzy. We square it around. We get a special course on this. We straighten it up. It does not take very long to learn. It's only about 5 levels of indoctrination now instead of just one. Doesn't take too long to learn. When you get through with that, you can do what? You can control people. And so we have a series of techniques that do this, and thus we will gain a great many auditors who can do this. But something very funny happens. So he is in session. He's controlling the preclear. And the preclear is getting well. And everything's going along swimmingly and beautifully. And there's nothing wrong happening. And the auditor says, look at the wall. The preclear does. Walk over to it, and the preclear does. And the auditor says, put your hand on it. And the preclear does. And the auditor says, thank you. And this auditor goes out, and he runs into some psycho 1-1 that's spinning in, that is a homo alcoholic, something like that, you know? I mean, that's just completely... If he'd spun in any harder, he would have drilled a hole in the ground. And he meets this fellow in real life, you know. He meets him in real, live, real, deadly, earnest life. Old classmate, something like that, you know. And he says, ow. Won't be very long before I'm tearing the roots out of my hair because I know this boy, 1-1. Real bad. Mm-hmm. And he says hello to the fellow, and the fellow says hello to him. He says, this is funny. He never has said hello back before. He said, he's told you about his best illness. Or how last night he saw a dog vivisected. Some other tidbit of conversation that he enjoys handing around. Ah, something's different. So he says to him, let's go down and have a beer. The 1-1 says, okay, I'll buy. He walks down to the pub. They have their beer, talk about the weather and sports, how it's all going. He tells the guy goodbye. A few days later, he runs into the fellow's wife and he says, for heaven's sakes, what a tremendous change in your husband. Has he gotten some auditing? And the wife says, auditing? No, he wouldn't have any of that filthy stuff. He's a clean boy. I mean, I broke him of his bad habits. I wouldn't do anything. No, but this tremendous change that's taken in him. Well, his wife up to this time has been standing more or less with her back to him. See? She turns around, and she's got a black eye. And he says, tremendous change, is it? He's acted the same way he's acted for the last 6 years. What made you think he'd changed? Ah, we're running into almost mystic things in Scientology, aren't we? That would be the first time an auditor would learn that by auditing, his relationship had changed, not the race. race hadn't changed any, probably even gone downhill a little bit. Auditor's relationship to the race and his friends and so forth changes, and what do we have? We have control. The fellow was perfectly willing to go into communication with him, because in the few minutes that the fellow was with him were the only few minutes anybody had ever talked to the fellow. The rest of the world talks to his circuits, and his circuits can't obey.